Wednesday, 7th January 2017. Today has been better. Making some good progress with the sorting and did well distracting myself this afternoon. I feel like I've been back here for an eternity already. Spent at least an hour chatting with Gregory in the butcher shop. We talked about years ago, reminisced. Talked about when I was a toddler, Mum would bring me in and Gregory would give me bacon rind to chew on. I preferred it to a dummy, apparently. I stayed and watched him cleave meat from bone from heavy slabs of dead animal. He did it with the action of a man doing something as well practiced as breathing. Tendons slicing apart. Fat stretching and snapping with his dexterous fingers, expertly, like he was a concert violin player playing, I don't know, green sleeves or something. The funny thing was, even as a vegetarian, I didn't feel anything. It lost all context. The meat just became red tissue. Not even tissue, dough or something. And the smell. I remember the smell of the butcher's shop sickening me as a child. The smell of death. The smell of rot. Even walking past it would make me gag. But today I barely noticed it. In fact, I found it comforting. Funny how things change so quickly. From one instant to the next, it's as though what went before never existed at all. It's like I'm experiencing everything for the very first time at the moment. Colours are brighter, smells are more fragrant, and people's faces are both more and less recognisable at the same time. Like I remember them viscerally. Like seeing an old and loved teddy bear for the first time after decades. Molly. Strange what time away from a place can do. I'm rambling. I did feel like a nuisance occasionally with Gregory, especially when a customer came in, but on the whole I think he felt sorry for me, so never mentioned it. One customer came in, wearing all white. He had a thick red beard, but he was old, too old to have that full beard of crimson. He stood by the counter, and as the sunlight shone in through the window, it looked like he was some kind of angel. He welcomed me to the village, but Gregory corrected him, saying I'd grown up here. In the Limbo House. Gosh, I hadn't heard it called that for a very long time. Not since I was a teenager. Memories flooded back. We called it the Limbo House because it was halfway up the hill, or halfway down, depending which end you were stood at. It was by itself. The terrace at the bottom, then nothing for a few hundred feet, then our house, then another few hundred feet, then the terrace continued to the top. Don't know who the land between belongs to. There's a pub called the Red Lion at the top of the hill. I go there sometimes. I think everyone around the village feels sorry for me. People I haven't seen for years are stopping and talking with me. People I had almost entirely forgotten about. It's strange being back after so long. They all look me in the eye with sympathetic glances. I kind of hate it. I kind of wish people just treated me normally. Instead, they sort of peer at me, eyes crinkled at the sides as though they're trying to see underwater. That all being said, the sun shone today and I felt substantially better. David rang while I was sorting through the attic and even he said I sounded better. And you know what David's like. I forgot how bad the reception is back here. I think it's got worse. Every time I speak to him on the phone, it sounds like he's very far away. You know that problem that sometimes happens. It sounds like talking to someone with a phone made from tin cans and string. Don't get me wrong. Nothing's changed. I still can't wait to get this place on the market and get back to London. But today has been like being in a dream. Floating about. In a way, it just feels like everyone's gone away on holiday for a bit and left me to it. Nothing seems really real. And it's actually a bit comforting how little things change. I'm writing in this same type of thick black diary with gold-edged pages as I have since I can remember. A creature of habit. There's a whole section of my bookshelf dedicated to these identical diaries with non-identical scuffs, stretching back years. A whole life. An entire life in words. Just summed up like that. All written as if I'm writing for a stranger to read after I'm gone. But then again, we all do that in our diaries, don't we? Nobody writes a diary. It's always a memoir, at least. As though when we come to read it back in years to come, we won't be the same person anymore. Things change. Bloody hell, that's for sure. Seeing my handwriting change through the ages would probably be more interesting than the stories that are scrawled in it. I bet it's got progressively more untidy. I worked my tits off trying to get neat handwriting when I was a kid. Put circles in place of dots over the eyes. Some things never change. And then there's Molly. Molly means home. She's a warm, fuzzy feeling. She's a hug around the waist and a strong paw to hold. She's got a good deal of life in her for a teddy bear. Her little button eyes look more alive than most people's, if I'm honest. I'm sat at the kitchen table. The dark wood, sturdy as an ox. I keep finding myself staring at it. I know every little mark on it like I know my own handwriting. I've grown up with this table. I ate my first meal on this table. I had my nappies changed on this table, hopefully not at the same time. People have danced on this table. It's covered in marks, like scars. There's a deep dent where Mum dropped, what was it now? A microwave? No, not a microwave. One of those old radios. The one that Granny used to have in her living room. The one that we took after she died. Heavy, wooden, with those two dials on it. It'll be around somewhere. Sure, I'll find it before long. Anyway, back on point. There is a scratch in this table that I don't recognise. There's this vertical line in the centre of the table. It's only about a centimetre long, but it's deep, and I swear I've never seen it before. Shows how long I've been away from here, I suppose. Not keeping up to date with the scratches in the table. Looking out the window here, and the garden is filled with a blue glow. Dusk has always been the best time for this garden. It's a dusk garden. In the dim light twinkling through the trees, it looks like it's underwater. Like the seabed. It's calm. The lawn is so overgrown. Maybe I'll get Dad's ride-on out tomorrow and give it a going over.